Hello, and thanks for viewing this Digital Marketing Rockstar breakout session, 10 Top Mobile Trends for 2012. I'm Joe Keenan, Senior Editor of eMarketing and Commerce and host of this session. Today we have Eric Anderson on hand to discuss the mobile marketing trends your brand needs to be aware of this year. Eric is a partner and Vice President of Marketing at Whitehorse, a digital marketing agency that provides strategic web and mobile marketing, design, and consulting. Take it away, Eric.
Thanks, Joe, and thanks for attending this webinar. I'm going to talk to you today about the trends that we're seeing in the marketplace for 2012 in the broad arena of mobile. And because Whitehorse focuses on understanding user behavior, that's where my focus is going to be as well. I'm very interested in the technology trends, but especially the technology trends that intersect with emerging user behavior. Now, that doesn't apply in all cases. In some cases, there are tech trends that we're making a bet on that we think users are going to adopt, and we're not yet seeing that. For instance, 2 years ago, no one could have quite predicted the growth of tablet marketing because no one had at that point used a tablet yet. But we're definitely seeing some trends now that are intersecting with new technologies that are available, and I'm going to walk you through those. So the first trend to talk about is one that we're all familiar with, and that is that mobile users love their apps, and the trend for 2012 is that they love them more than ever. When we look back on 2011, we see that the number of mobile apps available across all application stores doubled to about 1 million, and it's expected in 2012 that it will double again to about 2 million. So there's no slowdown in the number of apps available. What's interesting here, though, is that it's not simply a question of the number of apps, but the way that users are spending their time. In 2011, we saw for the first time that actual time spent on apps exceeded time spent on the mobile web. The data that you see on the screen there is a co-sponsored study from Flurry Analytics and ComScore that found that people spent an average of 81 minutes using mobile apps and only 74 minutes, that's per day, by the way, on the mobile web. And that trend is expected to continue into 2012. Now, what I wouldn't want marketers to do is conclude from this that you immediately have to go out and invest in mobile applications. It's important to understand how people are actually spending their time on their mobile devices. The overwhelming amount of that time, in fact, 79% of that time is spent either gaming or in social networking. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that Facebook's app became more ubiquitous and it became a more natural way for people to connect to Facebook. And then, of course, the growth of games like Angry Birds, which is also very interesting because it pulls in a lot of people that never considered themselves to be gamers before. So there's a real change in user behavior that's taking place there. But it's not necessarily something that every marketer will be able to take advantage of, and that's the second trend that I want to talk to you about. That even though consumers love their apps more than ever, it's not necessarily your app. So it's important to have a reality check in place when you're a brand considering getting into the app marketplaces. Now, what do I mean by a branded app? Well, specifically one that's associated with a given retail, CPG, or consumer brand. So one that's meant to provide a dedicated experience around that brand. So it could be like the Walmart app or the Starbucks app. Now, that continues to be a very tough space for marketers. Again, even though consumers are putting in their time there, and even though there are many apps available, there's a real winner-take-all phenomenon that takes place around mobile apps. A very sobering study from Deloitte found that 80% of branded apps are downloaded fewer than 1,000 times. And then, unless you have a very specialized audience that's going to use that app with high frequency, fewer than 1,000 times is not going to pencil out for you in terms of ROI in most cases. So now, does this mean that brands should not consider mobile apps? Not at all. It means that they have to consider mobile apps within the framework of a calculated risk. You're not going to be able to reach every one of your users through a mobile app. It's simply not going to happen. And you need to be judicious in your thinking about what that app is going to do for you. The ones that tend to succeed are the ones that focus on mobile use cases, meaning ways that users are already using their mobile phones. So if you know, for instance, that there are aspects of mapping technology or the use of the phone's camera or the use of social networking, which are already naturals for users in terms of the way they interact with their devices, that's a good place to intersect with the mobile app. So focusing on those use cases and then providing the functionality to solve them. Mobile apps that are more informational in nature, that simply replicate information that could be found on the mobile web, those are not going to tend to take off. Users are going to find it much more convenient to tap into a mobile browser to find that kind of information. So the net of this really is that marketers need to invest in both experiences, taking a calculated approach to using mobile apps, focusing on the use cases that are actually going to pay off for them, and then ensuring that they have other types of mobile experiences like the mobile web available to users as well. So number three, surging smartphone usage creates a full-blown usability crisis in the mobile web. So what we're finding is that this crisis has been building for the last couple of years, but it reaches its fulmination in 2012 because of the sheer numbers of users on the mobile web versus the actual usability of the mobile web. A study by a firm called Localytics found that 70% of sites are not mobile ready, meaning that either the site is not built for mobile at all, or it's built for mobile but not terribly usable. So that is a full-blown crisis. If this were taking place on the desktop web, marketers would be up in arms about this, but we just haven't quite caught on to what's going on with mobile device usage for us to really become aware of this crisis. But it's definitely a drum that we're beating these days, because the number of sites that aren't ready for the users is going to create this crisis. Now, if you think about this in terms of actual usage, for instance, so a person who's on the go is in the airport who needs to rent a rental car, they're going to look at the mobile websites that are available to them. Chances are they're not going to have a dedicated app for this purpose. And the site that is mobile-enabled, that makes it easy for them to go through what is otherwise a fairly complicated form in order to rent that car, they're going to give that business to that provider and not to the one with a non-optimized mobile site. So consumers are going to vote with their feet regarding usability of the mobile web this year, and brands are going to suffer if they don't have the mobile-optimized experience. Number four, this is something that I think probably made it on everyone's 2011 predictions and didn't come true in 2011, but we're placing another bet here that in 2012, indeed, near-field communication is going to come to a mobile device near you. So, in brief, near-field communication is a hardware feature built into certain phones that enable those phones to communicate with what are referred to as NFC tags. So those are tags that have a radio technology built into them that allows that communication to take place. Now, because this has been a hardware function, that's really been the slowdown. For the first time this year, there is an Android phone with NFC enabled called the Nexus S. As we see more and more of these phones coming onto the market, that's when we'll really see this type of technology take off. Now, why is this technology important? Well, for a variety of reasons. It enables a level of communication between the physical world and the mobile device that just hasn't been possible before. The use of the technology that tends to get a lot of buzz is the idea of mobile payments, and Google has its own technology for that called Google Wallet, which, again, requires that special handset, but that's expected to take off at least in the latter half of 2012. And the way that works is simply that if you tap your phone against a reader that's enabled for Google Wallet as you're leaving the store, it can transact and you can make your payment just through that tap action. So it replaces the act of having to check out of the store. So it's obviously a convenient time saver. But there are other ways that we see that marketers are going to be able to take advantage of NFC. The example that's on the screen there is the idea of being able to get more information about a book by tapping your NFC-enabled handset against the book. So this would replace QR codes in many instances, a much slicker, faster, easier way of interacting with that information and getting the information then pushed to your phone. And you can imagine in things like airport signage, bus stops, any kind of outdoor signage, advertisers being able to incorporate this into the physical environment. It's a great way to create that analog-digital synergy. Also, users will be able to connect with each other using NFC technologies, tapping phones together. So users will be able to game together and do other kinds of pairings using this technology. So it's definitely a rich opportunity for marketers. As I said, the real holdback on it has been the availability of the handsets, but those are expected to take off. About 34 million expected to be sold this year, and that should be enough for us to see some really interesting marketing uses of NFC. Next up, something called SoloMo, and we're predicting that there's going to be lots more SoloMo in 2012. So SoloMo is the latest buzzword to replace two previous buzzwords. This is once referred to as geolocation, and then in 2011 the term LBS, or location-based services. This is a more descriptive term. SoloMo is a portmanteau for the words social, local, and mobile. And it describes both user behavior and technology. So, again, it's a kind of connection between those two that we really look for to say that this is going to be a trend. So what we're seeing is that in 2011, dedicated SoloMo applications like Foursquare became something of a phenomenon where users are able to check in with their social networks based on the places that they go. But Foursquare remained a fairly niche experience. What we're seeing in 2012 is that SoloMo goes everywhere. Just to give you an example of that, what you see on the screen is a shot from the Starbucks SoloMo. Well, it's from the Starbucks app, but we'll call it the SoloMo app here. And what it allows you to do is not only to locate the nearest Starbucks, which is an obvious use of mobile technology, but also to invite a friend to join you there or to check in and share your location through a variety of means. And that's something that we're seeing that users want to do. Whitehorse conducted its own study, which I'll refer to a couple of times in the presentation here, regarding mobile shopping experiences. And what we found in our survey were that 50% of mobile shoppers like to share details with their social networks regarding their shopping experiences. So just letting your social network know that you're in a given store or that you just found this great bargain, those have become very natural social experiences. And so marketers have an opportunity to take advantage of that by enabling that, so by providing tools, even providing incentives to encourage people to check in with their social networks from a given location, which again is what Foursquare has been allowing us to do for a while, but we'll see others doing it as well. That's something that benefits the marketer and clearly is seen as a benefit for the consumer as well, because they enjoy that type of sharing. So that strong correlation between people who are heavy social networkers and people who have mobile devices, we'll see that manifested in this kind of behavior. Number six, second screens make first screens a lot more interesting. So a first screen, in this case, would refer to television, and a second screen is what you do on your mobile device when you're watching television. And here again, we're talking about real user behavior that now intersects with some tools that are available. So there was a study that was conducted by Yahoo last year that found that a whopping 86% of people are on their smartphones or their tablets while they're watching television, and that 25% of those people are browsing content related to the show while they're doing that. That's obviously a great opportunity for the networks and for the show's programmers, as well as for advertisers, to connect with people when they're doing something very natural. So The case you see here, this is a company that is probably on the forefront of the second screen movement, mostly because they were there before mobile. A company called GetGlue was offering this kind of interaction around favorite shows, as well as other things like movies and books, long before mobile became so ubiquitous. And so it was a natural transition for them to be doing this in the mobile space. And the idea is simply that you're watching a show, you check in, let others know that you're watching it, you can earn badges based on that, so there's a gamification element to it, and you can chat about what's going on in the show and just have a much more engaging experience. You can kind of expand your living room to everyone else who's watching it. So again, the real opportunity for marketers, we think, is going to be as this continues to expand. For instance, GetGlue's got about 1 million users right now, so it's still fairly niche. But as it expands, the advertising opportunities, of course, become very powerful because users can see advertising during a show, and then they can find out more from that advertiser, and you, of course, get some great analytics and tracking through that when they're watching the show and using the device at the same time. Next up, now this is one of these where I'm going to make a bet on technology without necessarily having the evolving user behavior to back it up. But this is one that's been a long time coming. I think a year ago, nobody would have quite predicted that Microsoft was going to come on the scene strongly in 2012. But a number of analysts are making this bet, and so I will too. They're definitely late to the party. Everyone agrees that Microsoft has a great mobile operating system that does some very interesting things that the others don't, but they simply haven't gotten the market presence to back that up. That's partly because they haven't been on the right networks with the right devices, and all of that changes in 2012. There's a lot of buzz, starting with the Consumer Electronics Show, around Microsoft's partnership with Nokia around the Lumia 900, which is a 4G phone, and it'll be offered on AT&T's 4G network. So those are the right kinds of things you want to line up in order to make a splash, and Microsoft has signaled that they intend to put a big marketing push behind this as well. Where they're way behind is in terms of apps. They've only got about 50,000 apps in their store versus hundreds of thousands in the other two, in Apple and Android. But if they can catch up, it's again a good opportunity for marketers to reach new audience. The thing to watch, I think, is both the numbers and then also the way that Microsoft finds ways to connect up their mobile platform with the Xbox platform, which, of course, is a hugely ubiquitous device in the home and is, I think, the real opportunity there. You know, anyone considering development for the mobile web has got to think seriously about Microsoft as an operating system in 2012 and potentially add that to the other big two, Android and iOS, as places where they need to be. Number eight, mobile ad spending quietly reaches $2.6 billion and someone finally admits to clicking on a mobile ad. I'm actually not too sure about that second part because you're hard-pressed to find anybody who says that they actually click on these ads. And the reason I say quietly is that there's simply not a lot of buzz in the advertising community about mobile advertising. But the numbers are definitely getting there. This got some attention recently in January when eMarketer actually revised up their estimate for mobile ad spending in 2012 from $1.8 billion to $2.6 billion. And most of that is driven by search. So, you know, if you look at this phenomenon and find that there's really one company, not surprisingly, that's completely dominating this space. Google has about 52% of all mobile ad revenues, most of that in search, but, of course, they also own AdMob, which is one of the bigger mobile ad networks. And this is going to be dominated by search for the foreseeable future. You can see on that chart, you see that the red bar there, which represents search, remains dominant all the way through 2016. So that's consistent, again, with user behavior. users that see ads appearing to them while they're playing Angry Birds, for instance, are less inclined to respond than users who actually see relevant paid search material put in front of them while they're engaged in active searches on their mobile devices. So our recommendation to marketers is ensure that in your PPC campaign that you have a separate campaign set up for mobile, that you're taking advantage of that, and that whoever is managing your PPC campaign is understanding the difference in user behavior and the consequent opportunities that are around mobile search. So you need to be planning for mobile search. You need to be spending in that channel the same way you would in PPC. I should say same way you would in desktop PPC. Number nine, you knew this one had to be in here. Tablet usage is no longer niche. Marketers scramble to catch up. So you could officially call tablet usage niche in 2011 because it was about 10% of all Americans using tablets at that time. In 1 month, that has gone to 20%. One in five Americans is now a tablet user. And, of course, that one-month leap was driven by the device you see on the screen, the Kindle Fire, which suddenly put tablets at a very attractive price within reach of many more people. And, of course, we will continue to see the price of tablets go down, putting it further within reach. So tablets are a real phenomenon. I would briefly say what this means for marketers is that you need to ensure that you're developing for tablet the same way that you're developing for the desktop and the mobile web. Tablet users tablet users using a 7-inch or 10-inch screen are not going to want to have to thumb their way through a mobile web. They're not going to want to have to thumb their way through a mobile website that's designed for a 2-inch screen. So you need to be developing for the tablet, and they're also not going to want to have to use a website that's limited because it requires flash or other things that are not as tablet friendly. And finally, retailers make peace with mobile shoppers and then they make money. This again is something that we thought we would see earlier, but 2011 turned out not to be the year. We have some data from our own survey that shows that 84% of smartphone users use their mobile devices while they're shopping in the store. But we saw in late 2011 that there was some resistance coming from retailers as they reacted to Amazon's rollout of an app that would allow users to go in and scan prices in the store and then shop on Amazon. What our data tells us is that retailers are thinking in the wrong direction if they're primarily worried that they're going to lose customers over price. Customers are in the store. Price is not the only consideration in making a purchase. Our data showed that while 83% of shoppers in the store said that price was an important consideration, that 76% of them were just as interested in getting reviews on their mobile devices while they were shopping in the store. So there are a lot of opportunities for retailers to make peace with mobile shoppers, provide them with more of what they want to help them make purchase decisions in the store, and by doing so, they'll make money. So this is an area where we expect to see some real movement from retailers in 2012, provided that they can get over their fears about consumers' interest in finding lower prices. So those are the trends as we see them for 2012. Thanks very much for tuning in, and I'm going to turn it back over to Joe now.
Great. Thanks, Eric. It was a really informative presentation on what marketers can expect to see in the mobile space in 2012. On behalf of EM&C, I want to thank you for attending the first installment of our Digital Marketing Rockstar webinar series, and again for opting to view this breakout session. Don't forget that all sessions are available on demand. Just click the widget marked with the star below if you'd like to watch another breakout session or the main session again. Thanks, everyone.